to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, that you'd help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. Lord, again, help us, Lord, give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. We'll read a couple of verses here. Start in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. I want to just talk about that for just a moment. Being justified by faith. I think one of the problems that is just a matter of terms, but one of the problems the world has is the gospel that's been presented to them. The modern gospel basically makes us all beggars and just absolutely no accountability at all, and we're called faith, the magic word that we just believe what Jesus did for us. And it's kind of funny that the very things that a lot of the Christian world, the worldly Christian or the nominal Christianity despises, that they talk about getting out and working and having a job and being faithful and being dependable and all of those things, good qualities that they like to see. But the very foundation of what they believe is that there's no need for all of that. That they just make you into a beggar. There's no need for you to carry your own weight. There's no need for you to do anything to follow the Lord. It's all done for you. It's all just a magical gift, and there's... you just live however you want to. And the very opposite of the result that they want to see, or the fruit that they want to see. And we know that we get the fruit of the seeds we plant. And here, that idea of this modern gospel, it's come to be despised now by the world because there's nothing in it. And that's why it's mocked and hated and despised and rejected by the world. There's no end of people, that how they can mock Jesus and all that he's done. And I think that's a result of the cheapness of the gospel that's been presented to us. Therefore, being justified by faith. Justified by faith, we've talked about faith, that faith is our response to what God's claim on our life. I think that's the great difference between the different gospels that are being presented, that the one that we believe is God redeemed us from Satan. He gave us power to live the way he wants us to be transformed. A lot of people are waiting to die before they'll think they'll just wake up in heaven and everything will be different. But we are who we are. The Bible talks about the tree. Let the tree lay where it falls. And the results of what we are whenever we're resurrected, we'll have a new body. But our souls will be who we are. We'll die who we are. And, if we haven't developed the qualities and the things that God wants in us, that's the way we'll be forever. You know, good or bad, we have this opportunity to become like Christ. You know, there's nothing we could have done to earn that. No. But we have a responsibility for that gift that's been given to us. We're a being that can be changed and transformed and made new. And it's because of the choices of whom we decide to follow. Being justified by faith is because we've responded to God's claim on our life. We've heard what He wants from us, what He wants us to turn from and turn back to Him, and what He wants us to become. And then, though we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. See, there's nothing about just, well, I'm going to heaven and there's nothing anybody can do about that now. That's not what he's talking about here. We've obtained an introduction by faith into this grace. It's a path that we walk. It's a life that we live. Not just something that is all sealed and done because we said a prayer one time. We've chosen to walk in this faith in the grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. You know, I thought about one of the songs we sang, kind of mentioned to it, that Jesus died for sinners. You know, that was the purpose. But I thought about that a minute, and I think, you know, it wasn't his purpose just to die for sinners. His purpose was to glorify God, to redeem sinners so that we could be restored to what he wanted us to be. It's not just, you know, we get the idea that he's just there in sympathy, dying for sinners. But that's not the purpose. His purpose was to redeem mankind for the glory of God, so that we could be representatives of Him, so that we could manifest our lives, that they would reflect His glory. That's why we think of we talked a little about in the garden that God made the promise to Adam that He would redeem mankind. You know, we think about all the things that happened through the Bible. And then Jesus came. You know, we talk about God. He gave His word. He told us what He was going to do. And all the things that transpired through the Bible. You know, man just completely going rogue, turning against Him, doing all these things. God didn't. You know, one of the things that He didn't continue to faithful, He didn't send Jesus just because men were sinners. He came because He said He would send Him. No matter how man acted through all of this, God gave a promise that in this seed He would send a man. And faithful men throughout history took up that promise and preserved that seed so it could be delivered. And the neat thing about this is God said it would happen. And, you know, we hear God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, that sounds real nice. But because God said this, it shows who His character is. He said He would do something. And everything that happened all throughout history, you know, would give the opportunity to say, I ain't doing that. Forget that. You know, they don't deserve it. They're not worthy of it. That doesn't have anything to do with it. He said He would do it. You know, that shows us character. A little of God's character. We forget about that so easily. God's character. He said, this is what's going to happen. You know, it's irrelevant whether we believe it and do good with it or not. God said it was going to happen. You know, and that shows us his character. He just said he would do something, and he's going to do it, whether we believe it or not. Whether we reject it, whether we despise it, whether we try to stop it, he's going to do it because he said he would. You know, that's kind of where I wanted to get this morning, talk about character. That's God's character. And if we're going to reflect the godly character that God has, we need to learn to be like him. And one of those things is whenever we say we're going to do something, we're going to just do it. I mean, it's so easy for us to say, oh, I'll do this and I'll do that. And then, you know, pretty soon the brothers or other people, that didn't happen. You know, and then we've got to go back and say, all right, are you going to do that? Oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then down the road, doesn't happen. These are character things. I mean, whenever we say something, we need to be a people that reflect God and who God is. He said something, he made it happen. You know, that's why it's important that when we give our word to something, that's what we do. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, one of the Psalms. You know, whenever we make a promise to one of the brothers or we tell somebody we're going to do something, there ought to be earthquakes and fire falling and storms and winds rending the mountains because we can't get to it before we would ever think that, you know, I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do. And even then, when it all clears, that ought to be what we intend on, no matter how small it is. You know, it's those little things that really show character. I just thought about that, you know, just been thinking about that this week, is character. It's one of the things that's not really talked about. It's just something anymore that a man's character, you know, it doesn't really matter. We've got credit reports and we've got all kinds of things, and so we don't really need character anymore. But you know, they used to say a man's word is his bond, and a man is no better than his word. You know, and we see those things and they're nice, but you know, how many people actually live by them anymore? That's what God sees whenever he looks at character. You see, it's that character that's going to get us to heaven. There's a lot of people can be religious, but then whenever they're on their own, their character isn't strong enough to carry them through the problems that they're going in. I mean, you know, it's fine to be surrounded by a group of people and we've all decided to live a certain way and we can live in there. But you know, character comes from an individual. You know, that's despised in a lot of circles, being an individualist. And I'm not talking about just being some contrary rebel. But an individualist is who the church is. It's made up of individual people with character that have joined together with another body of believers, with a body of believers. You know, we like I said, being an individual is a characteristic that is despised in a lot of circles. But it's that individualism, that independence that a person has to learn and have to be able to stand against the world. You see, we can, as a body, all decide we're not going to do something. But as soon as you're separated from that body, there's no character to carry you through. You know, I think that's a lot of times we see people that are in these real strict groups and they leave, and as soon as they leave, they just go to the wind. There's nothing there. And the reason is their strength, their Christianity, their character was in a group. Not because they were an individual that were standing for the Lord, that's chosen to walk with the Lord all by themselves and then joined together to a group of others who have done the same things. That's what the church is. You know, we're going to stand before the Lord not as a group. Not as a group at all. Every man will stand before the Lord on his own two feet. Side by side, or straight on, all by yourself. See, I think that's one of the big problems with people who are trying to follow the Lord. They're doing it, but without the group, they don't have any strength or any character of their own. Like I said, that's the problem. Whenever a lot of times people get outside of that and they just fall away completely because there's no real individual, no real solid structure of an independent person choosing to go against Satan and follow Jesus. Whenever Jesus said, "Follow me," to his disciples, like it was brought out, it was an individual basis. And each one had to make their own choice. That takes independence. That takes an individualism. That takes a choice that a person makes. And you can't get rid of that and still have the same kind of character that God's looking for. The same kind of character that when we leave this body, it'll still be with us. Not only this, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. Perseverance. You know, we have tribulations and we hate them. We complain about them. We don't like them. And I think the reason is because we're soft. You know, we don't see them as something coming from God for our good. We see them as somebody trying to mess up our peace, trying to mess up our rest, trying to mess up our comfort. But tribulations, Paul, we exult in our tribulations. The hard things that we're going through. You know, you don't have character if you don't have some tribulations. That's why I think throughout history we see the circle of man, you know, they go from being slaves to free, to prosperity, to slavery. You know, that prosperity brings laziness. That prosperity doesn't have much tribulation in it. And so we get weaker and weaker and weaker. Less character and less character and less character. And that's what brings us back into slavery again. This is a cycle. You see it in the children of Israel just over and over and over again. You see it in nations, in worlds, in people, in churches. You know, people wonder why the second and third generation isn't nothing like what the church started out to be. Is because they get soft and they get weak and they'd rather pamper themselves with good times than go through the tribulations. That makes them strong, that gives them character. Tribulations have become despised instead of exalted in. And I think you just look at the history here, just recent history, you know, you see the parents that started out with nothing and just work and work. They rent, they live in a tent, they live in a camp or whatever to get started. And they work and work and barely feed the family almost. And then the family gets growing and, boy, the next generation starts out about right where the last generation started out. They miss that working for through tribulation that makes families strong. And then they start out and then they prosper. And then the next generation starts out and they start out just a little behind their parents again. You know, it's the natural thing. But I'm telling you, when you miss the struggles of life, you don't get any stronger. In fact, we just get weaker and weaker and weaker. And now, you know, I mean, whenever families start out, or children start out, or couples start out, they've got everything their parents had already, all built in from the very beginning. We miss a big step there of starting with nothing and just being able to persevere and build through that thing. I'm not condemning anybody or saying anything. You know, this is just, I'm just telling you how it is. And there's history all around us to back it up. What I'm trying to instill is, don't be afraid of having struggles. That's what gives us character. Don't be afraid of having to do without a little bit when you're young. That builds character. Don't be afraid of, you know, I'm not even married yet. I need to just really. Don't be afraid of some struggles. Don't be afraid of having to wait. Don't be afraid of just waiting on the Lord. All those things, we need them to build the character. You know, we talk about a healthy body. You got to have exercise. You got to have good food. You got to do the hard things to be strong. It's the same thing with our character. And perseverance, proven character. You see, the tribulation brought perseverance. Brought a fortitude that I'm just going to go through this. I'm just going to go through this. You know, that perseverance is going through storms as they come. That perseverance is going through hard times. And then see what it does? It gives proven character. That's one of the things that it builds. You know, perseverance is going through the storms of life. Just walking right on through them. You know, we want to give up. We want to quit. We want to just throw in the towel. We want to get rid of this and make it easier. Going through it. You know, whenever problems happen, you know, we see the world and we call it a meltdown. These brats having meltdowns because somebody triggered them. They said some little thing. You know where that comes from? Just years and years of being pampered. And no character. That's where it comes from. They didn't ever have to go through anything. Most of these people we see or hear about on the news or hear about in the world that are having meltdowns are little brats that have grown up in some wealthy, wealthy family that never had to do a thing in their life but survive. And then somebody says some little something that they disagree with, and they just have a little tantrum or a meltdown. And it all, that's where it comes from. They have no character. They never learned any perseverance. You know, being a rock in a tornado instead of a Walmart bag. It takes learning perseverance. You know, it doesn't take much of a wind to blow a Walmart bag scurrying across the field. But it takes a pretty good grin to move a rock, and even when it gets moved or maybe shaken a little bit, it just rolls a few times and then settles down pretty close to where it left. You know, we all are capable of being moved. All of that comes from perseverance, strength, and character. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. See what that is? You know, it's not some holding on to some dream with all this problem. It's going through this problem with character and with strength. It's real. It's tangible faith that'll carry you through a storm. And after that, look what begins to dawn. Hope. And hope does not disappoint, because, I'm going to add something here, because God said it wouldn't. Because God promised it to those people. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The struggles that we face, the things that, don't be afraid of them. Help them build character. That character, you know, our dependability. When I think of character, you know, I think someone dependable. I think someone solid, someone trustworthy. I mean, those are all little characteristics of character. Being honest. Character. You know, it's one thing the world is lacking. We've got to have proof. We've got to have evidence. We've got to have collateral. We've got to have something to offer. Character just doesn't carry much weight, but it is the most valuable thing that we possess. It's our character. You know, that's what they used to say about the word. You know, people wouldn't, if they said they'd do something, they'd do whatever it took, because their word was important, because it showed who they were as character. You know, whenever they worked, they did what they were supposed to. You know, they weren't looking for nothing, something for nothing. They did what they agreed to do. And if someone let them down, they didn't get all bummed about it. They did their part, and they were proud of it. You know, we want people, everybody to, but so what if someone else fails you? I'd rather have my character than fail someone else. You know, okay, someone made an agreement and they failed. Well, I can get all beat up and throw a fit and show that I don't have any character, or I can persevere through it. And see that the most important thing is that I can carry my character through something like that instead of what little gain here or there I might have gained from it. Because what's important is us doing our part. And if everybody does our part, like we've talked about before, things just work so beautifully. Character. It's a very real thing, a very despised or unthought of thing today, but it's still just as real as it ever was. And that's what God wants to instill in us. His character. You see God's trustworthiness, His dependability, His faithfulness, His being a rock. That's what He wants us to be. Look at God's character and as we deal with other people. You know, that's just brings again importance to love God with all our heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Love His character, the qualities that it has, and display them and carry them out amongst each other. Anyway, may the Lord add His blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Got a couple of things. Steve Mitchell's daughter got married in Pennsylvania, and on the way back, someone was traveling out there and had an accident, a family of seven. And we're going to probably try to send them a little offering. So if you want to help a little bit with that. And then there's another lady that's got, her daughter has two children and she's about to lose them to the state. She just doesn't have any means, works, and trying to take care of her granddaughters. And she's just really scared that they're going to be taken and separated and put in foster homes. And so pray for that, and we're going to try to help her a little bit as well. I offered, you know, that maybe somebody could watch the babies or something for a little while, if that's possible. So I told her I would see about it, you know, if there's someone that could. It's not an easy thing, but just keep that in prayer in mind. So, all right. Well, God bless y'all. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock. Depart in peace.